Oh, man. That's funny.
Write-ins are free.
All right, it's gonna be all right.
Are we ready?
We've been rolling. We've been rolling for a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for this day, dear Jesus. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Jesus, that is you that speaks through us, dear Lord. We're asking right now, dear Lord, as we just take a breath, dear Lord, to hear from you, dear Jesus, that you continue to minister to and through our pastor, dear Lord, that he
the message that you have on your heart, dear Lord. He stands as a conduit to your message, to your understanding, to your truths, dear Lord, and that we stand as recipients to what you are trying to say and need to say on this day. We pray that our spiritual hearts are open to receive, our ears can hear, dear Lord, with clarity. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Do you have a mic?
I have a mic. Right here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my wonderful wife. All right.
All right, Pastor, you gonna
okay.
Gonna give them there.
Yes, Elohim Tov.
Kol
Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right. My friends in Israel say we laugh every time y'all do that. You know why? Because you say Kol Hazman, you always drop the H. Oh. But when it's English, you go Kol Hazman.
Oh.
Right? It's like Elohim Dolah. It's really Gadol, but when you're saying it together, you got to drop the G.
Oh.
So that's like Hebrew language, but they got to understand we're English, so you guys keep having a good time. We going to say Kol Hazman. Like they said, Shema Israel. There's like, no, it's Sma. Shema Israel. And no, it's Sma. So I don't know. We're English, so they got to forgive us. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. I have baptism certificates for Juan Manuel.
He's not here.
Yeah, this is. I thought you said he's not here.
Correct.
Okay, so I signed three.
Right.
What about Jeremiah?
He left the paperwork at home.
Oh,
I couldn't do his.
Oh, you.
Amen.
Guys. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I have one for Joanna and David, the super couple. Huh? I am going to open it, but I just wanted to look. I just wanted to.
The super couple.
Yeah. They're like that TV soap opera couple. Yeah, yeah. They're like, they're so good looking, I can't stand them. Yeah. All right, here is, wow, this is a great day. Okay, certificate of baptism to Joanna Flores has been water baptized in accordance with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by Soldiers for Christ Community Church, I say Global Church.
Amen.
On the 13th of February, 2021, Long Beach, California. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm going to make her get on TV. Here you go. Come take it. All right. Yes.
Okay. There we go.
There Amen. We go.
All right.
And to her wonderful husband, you agree with me, Joanna, right? Yeah, to her wonderful husband, David.
Oh,
yes. Amen. I love good fathers and good husbands. That's a beautiful thing. All right. To David Flores, has been baptized in accordance to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by Soldiers for Christ Global Church on the 13th, 2021, February in Long Beach, California.
Amen.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Take your license. Okay.
Here we go. Ta-da.
Amen.
Thank you. And to all the people baptized online, and this is your brothers, or her brothers, your brother-in-law.
Come get it.
Huh? I can't give it to him now? Okay. All right. He has to come get it. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So Lord wanted me to start off today, because this is going to be a pretty deep Bible study, but he wanted me to start off today, and I didn't get Drea's permission to talk about this.
Uh-oh.
But this is why when God taught me how to be a good man, I realized how important it is for God to have good men, okay? Good fathers, good husbands, good friends, but to have good men. Me and Drea didn't always, we haven't had an argument since like 1995, and that's the year we got married, right? So, but I remembered, me and Drea were talking the other day, and I remembered when we had our only argument, and she was asking me to go to a job party, that her party, a job was giving a party, and she wanted me to go, and I was like, it's not my thing, I don't want to go, and she's like, it's important for you to be there, I want you to be there. I was like, nah, I'm cool on that, you know, I'm not going. And then she's like, I want you to go, and then I was like, nah. And I'm like, just being, you know, selfish, right? Because it would have been no problem for me to say, okay, I'll go if it's important to you, it's important to me, right? That's what I would say today. But no, uncounseled me, I'm like, nah, I ain't going. I don't want to go and I ain't going. So she said, stop the car. I was like, what for? She said, I'm getting out. I was like, you're not getting out. I stopped the car. And then she like, open the door, and I grabbed her, and she's like, don't be grabbing me, and she jumped out of the car, and she ran over, and there was some police over there, right?
Ooh.
And like the last time I had to deal with the police, it was a big fight, and like seven people in the hospital, six on police and me, right? So I was like, I'm not talking to them. I drove off, right?
Ooh.
So I'm at home like, oh no, I'm praying, I'm asking God, like, what did I do? I'm a great man. We just got married. And the police drop her off at home. And we have a talk. Nobody got arrested or anything, right? But we had a talk. And we had a talk, but I had a talk with Jesus. Because I said, I don't want to be divorced, and I don't want to be a bad husband. What did I do wrong that could show me how to make my marriage last and to not be that person? And so God took me through the understanding of how to be a good husband, right? So he showed me, first thing, if you're going to be a good husband, you got to be willing to die, because the best husband in the world, Jesus says, is me. And if you're willing to die for your bride, then you'll be a good husband. But you, first thing, you have to submit yourself to be willing to die. So therefore, you have to get rid of all of you if you want to keep her and save her. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, what does God know about having a wife and putting up with her bad attitude? And what does God know about that, you know? And I'm like, and God's like, I have a wife. And it's you.
Ooh.
And the rest of the church. And that's some bad people that I got to deal with on a daily basis. But I never slap y'all around, because I'm a humble, and I've died for you, and I want to love you. And when you make a mistake, I love you guys back to me. You know what I mean? So God is like, you have to be like me. You have to love patient. You have to love kind. And you have to love submissive. Because you're not that important anymore, because you're married.
Yep.
And I went, so I started counseling people like this, like, you gotta die, brother. And they people get up and walk out on the marriage counseling, like, I can't do this. But it's necessary, if you're gonna be a good husband, is that your wife has to come first, okay? And if you're trying to argue your point, you're not being like Jesus.
Amen.
You understand? Because your point is, whatever I can do to make sure that I become a vessel to you that Jesus wants me to be. All right? Now, that's the wife she has. I mean, that's the husband she has now. But I wasn't like that. God had to teach me that, and God had to teach me not to worship my own lips. Because sometimes you want to say things that you need to sit down and go somewhere and take a walk, you know what I mean? Sometimes you don't have to speak everything. You don't have to, and you definitely shouldn't be saying something derogatory or smart aleck, because God says they're the weaker vessel, and you, that's the way you should treat them, as they're the weaker vessel. And they're also the vessel that you said, I would marry, and for this bride, I'm willing to die for her. Don't get married expecting your wife to be a servant.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Wives are not servants. Messiahs are servants.
Yes.
Husbands are servants. You understand?
Amen.
Now, I know this sounds strange because it's not what you see on TV, but this is biblical. Husbands wash feet. Husbands feed 5,000 and 4,000. Husbands do all these things. This is what Jesus did. You never saw anybody in the Bible washing Jesus' feet, except for the lady with the hair. And she did that because she wanted to be it. But he never said, hey, I need my feet washed. Because he's not there to be served. He's there to be a servant. If you want to be a good man, be a servant. Now, I'm telling you, when men hear that from me, they go, well, what about this and what about? I don't want to hear your point. I want to know, what did you do? Because I'm telling you like the Lord told me. What if she has an attitude? He says, you have no excuse, because the church has an attitude and I haven't gotten rid of them yet. Mm-hmm. You understand? That's his bride.
Yeah.
So love them through the attitude, love them through the bad times, love them through when they're happy, be supportive when they want something done. Do that out of what? Out of a subservient attitude. Wait a minute, men aren't supposed to serve women. That's not what Jesus did. You understand? It's not what Jesus did. Jesus was a servant even to his bride. You never marry anyone if you want them to serve you. You're not in it. Men, you're not in it to be served. You're in it to serve.
Amen.
Okay? And to wake up each morning and say, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Okay? And she get an attitude, you go take a walk. You better not sit there talking about, you always got an attitude. You know who looks dumb? The guy going, you always got attitude. Imagine you do something, Jesus is like, you always got attitude. Jesus is like, okay, cool. I'll love you later, right? Be as cool as Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, let's get into this message. I just felt like I needed to say that because, you know, we have to be examples of who Jesus is. We can't just be, oh, I'm born again. I'm a Christian. Show me.
Amen.
Show me. Don't say it. Show me. I know it's hard to take, you guys, but show me. You want to be the boss? Who cares if you want to be the boss? You know what I mean? Who cares? You want to be a servant boss, or you want to be a boss that nobody likes? You want to be a boss that's helping people out, right? Praise God. All right. I said my piece, and the Lord told me to say it. And I said, somebody, you just whipped. Yes, I am. God bless you. God bless you. 275 pounds of whipped. And Jesus loves it and I love it. Praise God. Okay. I want us to look at this
because it's very important. I just lost my. This is very important that you guys know this.
And we're going to go through this today. I have this Bible study I did this morning. I was like, I can't send it to Pastor Ben because Pastor Ben's at church already. And so I have these notes here that I'm going to send to Pastor Ben for you guys to look over later. Okay? The first thing on the note that says this, God says, you're doing it backwards. I'm going to stop. I'm going to go to Daniel. Let's go to the book of Daniel.
Yeah.
You got that? I got the mic on. Pastor Ben trying to get on TV.
Yeah.
Praise God. Good deal. You guys in Daniel chapter 3? Okay, I'm going to tell you what's going on in Daniel chapter 3, and then we're going to get to the meat of this. This is what's going on in Daniel chapter 3, because this is what's going on right now in the world. And God is looking at Christians like, what are you going to do? Because either you're going to believe God and trust God, or you're going to become the happy person that does what the world asks you to do. So, and God wants to know, what are my people going to do in this moment, okay? So here it is. Nebuchadnezzar set up this golden statue. And he said, when you play the music, the harps and the pipes, and people hear the music, everybody needs to bow down and worship the statue that I set up. For that statue is a god. And so you had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And those are the names that Nebuchadnezzar gave to them. And they heard the music, and they saw all the people bowing down to the statue, and they stood straight up and said, not me. So someone went back and told the king, hey, you know those three guys that you put in, you elevated in power? They're not bowing down to the statue that you put up when the music came on. And so the king was furious. And it says in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. Now, this is a strange, because he brings them before him and he says, didn't I say that when you hear the music, you are to bow down and worship the statue that I put up? And they're looking at the king like, no. So they say this, here it is. It says, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he doesn't rescue us, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you set up. Basically, with like, what's the black thing we do in the neighborhood? They went like, you know what I mean? They're like, please. They got attitude while they're doing this. You understand? God wants to know what gave them this power and this strength and this knowing to know that even in the face of death, that they could trust God.
That's right.
What gave them that attitude? Because see, they had already heard what God did in Egypt. They had already seen God deliver Israel out of the giants that were conquering the lands that they were supposed to move in. God, they have already seen God move in, kill off giants, and put them in position. You understand? They're in Babylon because of disobedience. But they know that the God that they serve is more than able to save them.
Yeah.
And I love this, even if he doesn't.
Amen.
That's right.
Please.
Yeah.
Right? That's the attitude we have to have, especially living in the times that we're living right now. Because our God is able to save us out of it.
Yeah.
And even if he doesn't, he's still God.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you can get out of my face with all this. And now you've got to understand and know that they had a history with God And I want you to know you've got a history with God. Their history is our history. But we have even more because we're closer to the end. Now understand this. This is said, I'm reading this morning. And I said, it says the UN divides the world into 10 regional groupings. What? The UN has made a proclamation that they're going to divide the world into 10 separate areas.
That's dividing.
And they're saying that they will allocate a leader to each regional area. Presidents will not be known anymore of each state because they're going to divide the land and they're going to pick 10 kings.
Wow.
Read about it.
Wow.
Now, I thought it was new. I was like, is this a new article? And I said, no, this is 2011. Then I said, well, when did they decide? Are they still doing it? I looked up closer articles and it says the plan is still solid. It sits in the UN and they're just waiting for the New World Order to do what? To separate the world into 10 kings and there be no more nation to nation state, but it be a one world government.
That's revelation.
Okay. So now let me read this to you. It says, in fact, the entire world will be recognized in two supernations, in 10 supernations. The creation of NAFTA had nothing to do with the economy. Rather, NAFTA is is going to be nation number one of this 10 nation organization plan of which the Bible prophesies in Daniel and Revelation. Listen now to God's prophecy. This is what the prophecy says. It says, there will be 10 horns that you observe, that you observed and are rulers who are to receive power, authority for a single hour along with the beast. These have a common policy and purpose, and they deliver their power to the beast. God has put in their heart to carry out his purpose by acting in harmony, surrendering their royal power and authority to the beast until the prophetic word of God shall be fulfilled. That's in Revelation 17. Now, all of a sudden, the UN is like, we want to make sure that the people know that we still got this plan on file. The world will be in 10 union. Okay, so now, here we are in 2021 and they're confirming it to us that they're going to do it. When did the 10 nation idea come into mind? When Jesus comes back, that means he has to conquer 10 kings. When Egypt got delivered, God had to do what? He had to deliver them with 10 plagues, but those 10 plagues were the 10 gods of Egypt.
Yes.
When Haman tried to destroy all of the Jews, Haman died, but also his 10 sons. When Hitler tried to destroy all Jews, he died, but his 10 henchmen got hung too, on the exact same year that God said the hanging would happen. And now you got the UN saying, oh, we're going to have 10 nations. And Revelation said, I already knew it. I wrote it in 90 AD that you would have 10 nations. So do you see and understand, either they read the Bible and they're trying to do exactly what God said,
yeah.
Or what God prophesied is just true and what he says is going to go. So that means what God has written, he is watching over to make sure that it happens. So who put in their minds, we need to separate the world into 10 unions? It's already written. Okay, let's look at something else. We have this thing right now called the Bill Gates vaccination microchip and patent 060606. It is a patent. The patent WO2020-060606 was registered on the 26th of March, 2020. Now, the patent application was filed by Microsoft Technology, headed by Bill Gates, back on 2019. So 2019 is really when they had already had it. And it said, patent was granted international status. The title of the patent is Cryptocurrency System Using Body Activity Data. Okay? Now, why did he choose 060606? Who wrote 060606 in 90 AD in Revelation chapter 13? God, he said he's coming and his number is going to be. Now listen, it says not just a vaccine, it says Microsoft chips as well. You understand? So currency, this is a cryptocurrency. That means you will not be able to buy or sell without the chip. God said it's coming. And here we have the beginning of it. And so anybody who is a Christian shouldn't be doing having anything to do with anything about 666. You shouldn't be standing in line for your 666 nothing. Because you should know God already wrote about this. I want to have nothing to do with it. Well, if you don't, you're not going to be able to buy food at the supermarket or travel. Let me tell you, King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't care. You understand? My God is more than able to take care of me. You understand? And even if he doesn't, I'm not bowing down to it. You understand?
Amen.
So, I want you to know that God had already established this. When did God first establish this number? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, when Eve is saying what? He says, Hanahash, his name is, that means a snake in Hebrew. Hanahash says to Isha, the woman, did God really say that you would die if you eat of, that you can't eat of the trees or the fruit in the garden? And Isha, Eve says, he said we can't eat of the trees, but we can eat of the trees in the garden, but the one in the middle we can't eat of, because if we eat of it, we will die. Then it says, and Hanahash omer to Isha. Hanahash said to Isha, you won't die. Surely you won't mut vemutin. It says, he says, you will, God only knows that in the day that you eat of this fruit, of this food, your eyes will be open and you will know good from evil. And you will be Ki Elohim, you will be like God. The first word in the Hebrew with a numerical value of 666 is you will be Ki Elohim, like God. Okay? So any religion that tells you that you're a God stole that from Satan.
Amen.
You are not a God. You are a born again believer in Jesus Christ. You saved, you have his spirit. But because you have his spirit in you does not mean you're a God. You're a saint.
That's right.
So we have to understand something, that God has already known about 666 since when? Genesis chapter 3, 5? I thought he came up with it in Revelation. No, in Genesis chapter 3, 5, he already told you this is the number of the snake.
Amen.
When David had to deal with the giant, is it by accident that the giant was 6 cubits tall, had 6 pieces of body armor, and his spear weighed 600 pounds? Is that an accident? Mm-hmm. Or is God telling you that a giant is coming into the world that, and guess who kills the giant? 888. Jesus, the rock. He kills 888. So 888 kills 666.
Right.
But here this giant is, and God is like, this is in the time of David. And God is already telling you a 6'6 giant is coming into the world. So this is not new that they would come up with a patent to tell you that this is what you have to take in your body if you want to buy or if you want to get well, all this stuff, right? This is all ready written by God.
Yes.
So what else does God say? God says this. You will be rescued from all that is about to come up on the earth.
Yes.
You understand? God says, when you're taken out, then the Antichrist can come.
Yes.
Not be ready to run. Not when you see him coming. I don't care if you see it and it appears, he ain't coming.
Right.
Until you leave.
That's right.
And so, since you have this assurance from God, you don't get all riled up when somebody has a patent or somebody says, oh, this is what we're going to do to Christians. They ordered 30,000 guillotines in Atlanta in 2013 and put them in a camp that they built in Georgia. 30,000 guillotines. That's not a few. That's a whole stadium for the basketball game.
Right.
Of guillotines. And you're like, oh, well, you know, Satan's not really planning that for us. We're Christians. No, look, Satan don't care if you ain't planning. Do you know Satan believes the word of God?
Yeah.
How many guys know that? He believes the word of God. So if you don't believe it, that's not his problem.
Right.
It's like, what are you loading the gun for, Satan? I'm going to shoot you. It's like, didn't you read your Bible? You know what I mean? If you see him doing it, you understand that he's doing what he's going to do.
Right.
He's saying he gets 7 years. He gets 7 years. Let's go to this wonderful book. And I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 11.
Can we do 15 more minutes, Pastor Samuel?
Who?
Can we have 15 more minutes?
Of what?
Are you speaking?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. We have to, Pastor Ben. All right, here we go. In chapter 1 Samuel chapter 11, listen to this name, Nahash, the Amorite. What does Nahash mean? Snake.
Yeah.
So God is telling this story about a guy. He's the king of the Amorites, but his name is what?
Snake.
Hanahash. Now listen to this. It says, Nahash, the Ammonite, went up to besiege Jabesh Gilead, where the Jews are living. And all the men of Jabesh said to him, make a treaty with us, and we will be subject to you. They're going to make a treaty with who? The devil, with Satan. This is what the Jews, God isn't saying this is what the Jews are going to do back then. What is the word of God? Prophecy. God is saying they're going to make a deal with the snake in the future. You understand? So here it says, but Nahash the Amorite replied, or the Ammonite replied, I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out the right eye of every one of you, so to bring disgrace on all of Israel. That's what the snake said. You let me degrade Israel, I'll rule over you. So they like, hey, we hold it up. Let's think about this. The elder of Jabesh said to the snake, give us 7 days so we can send a message throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you. So he says, wait 7 days or wait 7 years of tribulation. If nobody comes to rescue us, we'll serve you. But if someone rescues us, you in trouble.
Yep.
Yeah.
Saul was the king of Israel at the time. Saul came and destroyed Hanahash. He destroyed the snake. The king of Israel destroyed the snake. Who's the king of Israel? Jesus. He's coming to do what? Destroy Hanahash, right? So God is letting you know what? The snake is coming. Israel is going to make a deal with them. Your job is not to look for the snake. Your job is to know what God has planned for you.
Yes.
The snake don't even get to come into existence until what?
You leave.
But God says there's already an Antichrist spirit in the world.
Yeah.
There are many Antichrists. So we know that is going on, but you're here. What God did for Octavia in Texas was incredible.
Great.
He had her prepared for all that snow and all that trouble.
Yeah.
God was telling her a week early, you need to buy this and then buy this and buy some extra food. And, you know, Hezekiah and Ezra, they need to be taken care of. They need to be warm. Make sure, get a generator.
Yeah.
Electricity go out. They warm. Right.
Yeah.
But God's preparing his people. Right.
Yeah.
Before it comes.
Yeah.
That's just present day stuff last week. So is God on vacation or is he still working?
Still working.
He's still working. So we have to put our trust like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I already know what my God will do. You've got to have the mentality, you know what your God is going to do in every situation. Here we go. Ah, listen to this, what the Lord showed me this morning. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, it says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding count the number of the beast, for the number of the beast is 666. He said, Sandy, why did I put it in the 13th chapter? I said, oh, 13's rebellion. Yeah. Why did I put it put 18 verses? Because that's the last verse. He says, 6 + 6 + 6 = He said, that's why I put it there. I'm always thinking numbers. And I went, God, you are tripping me out. Because I don't know how you're putting all this Bible together while you're still adding numbers.
Right.
But you've got to understand that your God is well ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be worrying about this and that and all of this stuff. You just live day to day. Give me today my daily bread, right?
Yeah.
If today is taken care of, your hands should be up and praising God.
Yeah.
I heard Pastor Ben back there today, while I was back there, he was saying, sometimes you guys making things happen because of the way you're acting and stuff ain't even happened yet. That's called projection.
Thank you.
That's what Satan does. That's his number one weapon.
Yep.
Because you know what? If I could get you to react before anything happens,
yeah,
then I got you. I tell the story. I was, me and Drea was having some problems. Like, we got to pay the rent. We got the car payments. I'm like in a house. I'm stressed out. I'm almost in tears. I'm in a house with electricity on, with food and the thing, and I'm stressed because I don't know where the rent is coming from. Not this month. I got this month. Next month. Same God, you're going to have to get some cardboards because sleeping outside is not going to be, it's not going to be comfortable, you know, and make sure you get the bag, the many blankets that you can. And I'm sitting here about to cry. And the Holy Spirit's like, don't pray, because he didn't want to hear it.
Ooh.
Don't come to me like that. You come to me with praise and worship. That's how you enter God's presence. Do you know that? Don't you come to me with that. Because I was going to go, oh, what was me? God's like this, don't you come at me with that. He said, are the lights on? I went, yes. Are you in a working car? Yes. You have food in the fridge? Yes. So your today is okay, right? I said, yes. So why are you worrying about tomorrow? Don't have enough troubles of itself? You don't think, if I built the earth, he told me, if I built the earth, if I did everything, I put stars, and I did it in 7 24-hour periods, no matter what anybody tells you. I did it in 7 24-hour periods, the whole world, stars and everything. But I can't pay your rent by next month?
Mm.
Seems like you have no trust in me. So at sometimes I'm just telling each and every one of us, you're going to have to say, I trust God. Pastor Ben come to me, like, we got to get the rent paid, we got to do a rummage sale, and we might have to sell some barbecue, Pastor. I'm talking about to keep the church open, because it wasn't like today when we got all these beautiful YouTube people and they help us with the ministry. It wasn't like today. It was like, Pastor, when you get paid, because we got to pay the rent. Like, I get paid on Friday. They want it on Thursday. Can you get an advance? We was in that position, right?
Amen.
But I was at a place of faith. Pastor Ben was telling me, I said, let's see what God does. This is an opportunity to watch God work.
Yeah.
Good, we're broke. We both have no money. Let's see what God does.
Amen.
This is going to be awesome.
Amen.
That's what I said to him.
Yeah.
I said, let's see what God does. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah. And it was.
And it was. We didn't sell one piece of chicken.
Not one piece.
Or a barbecue.
Not one.
Did we have a rummage sale?
We didn't have a rummage sale.
We didn't have no rummage sale, nothing.
Mm-mm.
All of a sudden, everything's there. We're like, oh.
Lights stayed on.
Lights was on. Sometimes you just got to trust God.
Amen.
So if he's pre-planned all of this before, and he did all of this now, and it's coming true, what makes you think he's on vacation?
Right.
God is working. Jesus says, God is working, and I am too.
Yeah.
He said, it's not my Sabbath. I'm not taking a day off.
Right.
I'm on the business of you.
Yeah.
I'm still working for my bride.
5 minutes, Pastor.
I can't do 5 minutes. I need 15. No, I'm just Okay. This section here is called Joshua. Okay, you guys know what Joshua means in Hebrew? What does Joshua mean in Hebrew? Jehovah's salvation. What does Jesus mean in Hebrew? Jehovah's salvation. Jesus is that Greek thing of the Hebrew, but both their main names mean the same thing. Joshua and Jesus means the same thing. Okay? Now, in Numbers chapter 13, let's go there. I'm going to do it fast, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
But I might need 5 more. In Numbers chapter 13, God tells Moses, Moses, I need you to do something for me. I need you to pick one leader out of each tribe and tell them to go to this land that I'm going to give you. God is saying, I'm going to give it to you. It's already yours. Just go in there and tell them to spy out the land and tell me, come back and tell me what they see. So he picks 12 leaders from 12 tribes. Out of the tribe of Judah, he picks a guy named Caleb, who is a Gentile. And we don't need have time to go through that.
Amen.
Caleb is representing Judah, but he's a Gentile.
Yes.
And at the very end of this, he says also he had Joshua, the son of Nun, but Moses gave him the name Joshua. So his name was Joshua, which means salvation, but Moses gave him the name Joshua, because Moses says, no, you're going to be Jehovah's salvation in this story.
Mm.
So Joshua comes back and Caleb comes back. You got all 12 tribes went out, but they come back and 10 of them say, God's not able to do this one. Y'all tripping. He said, we saw some giants over there. We look like grasshoppers with them walking around. He said, yeah, it's a good land, but we better pick someplace else. And so they turned to the Jewish people, and the people start crying because the 10 told them, we ain't going nowhere. We stand right here, and there's no hope for us. So the 10, the rest of the Jewish people start crying. Who didn't they believe? Joshua and Caleb, right? Who is Joshua representing? Jesus. Who's Caleb representing? The Gentile church. So even though right now Jesus and the Gentile church are telling the Jews what God can do, they don't believe it. Now, if you check your Bible very carefully, you will see that Joshua, after this, disappears for 40 years. You don't hear about Joshua again until Moses is about to die.
Wow, right.
Why? Because 40 years, what is Jubilees?
50 years.
40 Jubilees is how much? 2,000. So 2,000 years later, you'll hear from Jesus.
Wow.
But not until it's time.
Wow.
God be telling me everything.
Wow.
So here it is. We're at 2017. We come to the end of this 2,000 year period. And Jesus is about to appear. Because you know what happens to Moses? Moses dies when? He's 120 years old. What does Psalms 120 say? Deliver us from lies. We're living in the 120th year. So isn't it something that all of this is happening in the exact same year that Moses died? In the 120th year. And somebody, and this is what God tells Moses, hey, remember that sin you did? It wasn't time to for the flood yet. But it's the 120th year. You're not going into the land. You sinned, and judgment comes in 120. You guys are living in the 120th year. And so Satan's pouring it on. The Antichrist is coming. You're not going to be able to eat anything. You're going to have to, you can't fly unless you have this. They're going to come and get your kids, and they're going to lock them up because they have a cold. And everybody's thinking about what Satan's going to do. And nobody's thinking about, it's lining up with what God said. Somebody's got to say that. Somebody got to say, whoa, wait a minute. This is exactly what God said would happen right before he comes. And Christians should be excited all over the world. We should be telling each other, any moment now, we're about to get out of here. We should be encouraging each other, right? Jesus is coming. Our salvation is sure. Why? Because his word is sure. But what are we doing? We're sending each other the latest news. I mean, I get so much bad news. People send me everything. I know who the Antichrist is, his cousin. I know who his grandmama gonna be. I know everything about what they gonna do. Send me some stuff about what Jesus is going to do.
Yeah.
Send me some stuff about what God is going to do. So it's 40 generations, and now God says to, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, God says to Moses, chapter 31, verse 40, verse 14, Moses. All right, here we go. 31 verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua. This is 40 years later. Because remember, that was the beginning of them wandering in the desert. Now they're at the end of it, and he says, hey, go call Joshua now. He calls Joshua and present him at the tent of the meeting where I will commission him. So Moses and Joshua came to present themselves at the tent of meeting. And God said, make sure. He says, not only Joshua, but bring in the priest Eleazar and set them both before the people. You got Jesus and the Holy Spirit about to take over the ministry of Moses in the 120th year. And what's Eleazar going to do? Take the church out. Listen, your future's already been told. You're in a judgment year. Your future home, look, when we come back, we don't have bodies made of smoke. We got, when you come back, you're going to have a real body like Jesus.
Right.
You know, everybody think, oh, we're going to be spirits just floating around. Woo, how you doing, Pastor? Woo, I'm over here. No! Jesus is going to give you a resurrected body. What did Jesus do when he resurrected?
Ate
food. What else he did? Hug people.
Walk through doors.
Probably play a little football.
Yeah.
But that means when you come back, you're going to be able to do some things. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You're going to be able to do some things that you couldn't do before, but you're going to be able to do some things. You're going to have a body. You can sit down and have a meal in that body.
Walk through a door.
You can walk through a door in that body. You can walk to the next city if you don't have to walk through the door. You can open the door and walk in.
Yeah.
But you are going to have a body that can't get sick and can never decay, that is going to be an eternal body. Yeah. You understand? The guy who's telling you this told Israel, don't worry about not being a nation for 2,520 years. In 1948, I'm going to bring you back. And he did it. So you're not serving. I don't play church. I fear God too much. He's done too much for me to think that I'm serving a religion. I can't do that.
Amen.
This is a real God you're dealing with a real plan. And you know what? When you come back as one of the 10 and not Caleb or Joshua telling people, oh, woe is us, you're doing Satan a favor. You're not doing God a favor. You need to tell people what God is about to do, not what Satan is going to do. Oh, if he catches us, what he's going to do to us. What about what God is going to do? So here we are. Joshua, in the book of Joshua in chapter 3, it says this. I'm sorry, Pastor, I got to read this and then we'll be done. Watch this. You guys go to the book of Joshua chapter 3. Okay, so Joshua gets the job, right? Moses dies, 120th year, Joshua gets the job. And here God is giving Joshua the commandment for the priest to go stand in the middle of the water. And when you do, the water is going to divide. Then all of the Israelites are going to pass through on dry ground, just like in Moses' day. And when you all get to the other side, then we'll let the water come back. So he does it. And then at the end of this chapter, it says, verse 17, the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all the Israelites passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. First chapter 4, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men. Now, have they already crossed? Yes. After they crossed, Joshua, God says, now I need you to do me a favor. Get 12 men, priests, tell them to go back into the water, divide it again, and get 12 stones out of there and bring them over here and set them up so when people see, they'll know what happened. Then it says, the priest came out of the water on the 10th day of Nisan. So that means the people had already crossed over before Nisan.
Yeah.
Possibly. Maybe it was Nisan first, maybe Nisan second, but we know it was before Nisan 10th.
Amen.
And who crossed them over? Joshua, who is now supposed to take over the ministry because it's been 40 years. And it's been 40 jubilees. I'm trying to let you know where you are in history. All this stuff is not happening for no reason.
Amen.
Then it says, in chapter 4, it says, and on the 14th of Nisan, all the people celebrated Passover in heaven. That was my title, Celebrating the Passover in Heaven. That's what I'm looking forward to. You understand? That's how I was like, it was so good, I gotta remember it. We're gonna celebrate the Passover in heaven. So that means before summer, before, it's gonna be, remember that spring wedding that everybody's talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's still possible.
Yes.
You're living in the perfect time. And enough craziness is going on that you should be celebrating. You're like, look at this demon set up for the tribulation. decorating the house with lights. I mean, they are decorating for the tribulation right now. You guys have no idea. The guillotines, the concentration camps, the body bags that were delivered. Remember the last week somebody said all these body bags are delivered. They got the caskets at the concentration. This guy's setting up. They're setting up for the tribulation. Satan's like, shh.
Don't tell nobody.
The Christians. They don't know what we're doing. We know you're set. If we got any sense, we read Revelation, we know what you're doing.
Right.
But one thing we're going to do, we got to be prepared to leave.
Yeah.
And that's why the Lord had me say something about husbands before. You can't treat your wife the way you treat your wife and think you're going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Lord wanted me to tell you. You can't treat your bride any way you want to treat her and still go to heaven.
Right.
You're going to have to come in line with the word of God and show the same love to that bride I gave you that I show to you, because you haven't been perfect either.
Amen.
And so this is my thing. God said, prepare my people to leave. Men, I'm preparing you to leave. Stop tripping. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, okay? Because we're about to get out of here. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah. Ooh.